Hey guys, welcome back to Records of the Republic, a podcast about all things Star Wars, from canon to EU to Legends content and more. We are your hosts, Wade and Devin, and we're going to make the jump to lightspeed as we try to tackle today's topic of conversation with you. Strap yourself in and don't get cocky as we embark on this journey together into the Star Wars universe. Devin, how are you doing, man?
We're good. Hanging in there, getting back into work. From being off, you know, with that shoulder injury. So that's, it's a little tired, more tired than I used to, you know, be, but we're, it'll get there. More than that. It's good. Evie's getting big, saying a bunch of different words, being actually really funny. There's so many things she does now that we're just like, dope. That's hilarious.
She's a sweetheart.
Yeah. The other day, she took a spill in grandma's living room on the carpet, but grandma got all excited and said, "Oh my goodness gracious." And she turned around and went, "Goodness gracious."
Yep.
And so we're like, all right, well, I mean, that's on the better end of things she could learn to say.
Yeah, there are much worse things that she could repeat, like Gene saying, "Damn it," in the middle of church service.
Yeah. See, so we're looking up there. And so
you guys are way ahead of us.
Yes, because I mean, she also does put herself to bed at 19 months. So,
yeah, which pisses me off. Okay. So for those who don't know, we're in a little bit of a story time unrelated to Star Wars. We've been off for the last few weeks. We really haven't been. One of the weeks we were together, we were out in Arizona. We went out for Christmas vacation and got to spend some time with you guys and the family and all that fun jazz. And then we got back from Arizona from Christmas vacation and just kind of, when it came to the podcast, didn't leave vacation mode for the last like 3 or 4 weeks. We're finally catching up. But all of that to say, Devin and I ended up spending some time a couple of nights after kids were going to bed, that kind of thing. Penny was putting the kids down at her aunt's house, and I was like, "Hey, I'll come over and we can just watch, you know, Ahsoka or whatever." But I asked to make sure that Evie was up one night when I got there so I could see her. And so I come in and she wants to show me her room and all of her Stitch toys and the Encanto toys and, you know, all the cool stuff she's got. So I sit down on the floor with her and everything, and we're playing a little bit. And then like, she goes through this nighttime routine of like making sure she's got everything she needs when it's time to go to bed. And she goes and shuts the door and like is ready to be in the crib. And I'm like, what kind of witchcraft is this? My son is sitting in the next room, sitting up in his bed, reading a book. I mean, I guess at least he's reading, but he came out of his room twice. It's 11:10. He might be asleep now. Tonight has been awful. I mean, this is some grade A BS.
If it makes you feel any better, she's regressed a little bit now that her two front incisors are cutting.
Good.
So teething has been a little bit of a regression on that. But yeah, more than that, I mean, she's always just kind of been, since we transferred her from the Swaddles, she's always just kind of had this bedtime routine. And we've been pretty solid about that. And as soon as she's tired, she just kind of goes about that routine and goes, "This is kind of how we go to sleep."
We do routines. We're all about the routines.
I can't tell you there's no magic in that besides that.
You're casting some kind of spells over there, because there's no way. That's just not normal. Anybody else, you know, to our three listeners out there, if any of you guys are parents, please confirm that I'm right. This is witchcraft. This is unheard of. This is the stuff of legends.
Yeah, I mean, maybe legends. Maybe she's legendary, but not witchcraft.
Stupid is what it is. I was very angry. That was a rough night watching Ahsoka. Usually I do it with a smile on my face, but I couldn't get away from the fact that your kid's better than mine.
Yeah. Smiles and captions.
Can we do like a summer exchange program? I send you my kids and I get Evie for the summer.
How old that? Well, that won't really matter.
Why?
In the same state.
Well, we don't know that we'll be there in the summer. We just know we'll be there at some point.
It's true. It's true. I mean, no.
Please?
No.
Evie's sweet, though. It was fun watching them like Gene and Evie play together and interact. And I think we had a fun time with that.
Yeah, she loves kids. And that was a very big solidifying point for us to have more. She loves interaction. She needs more of it.
Well, yeah, you guys will have us, so that'll be good.
Yeah, that'll be good for her.
Like I was saying, it's too cold here in Chattanooga. We got our first snow like last weekend, and we still have ice on the roads left over from it. Like, it's freezing. This whole next week, we're going to be getting down below 20. Like, that's stupid. I'm a desert rat. That's not okay. I've been freezing my tail off.
I couldn't live in that. No. I would die.
It's not worth it. Snow's cool. I think I like the idea of driving to see snow and then leaving the snow.
Yeah, and in Arizona, we have that like 2-hour drive to like manageable snow. It's not like snow drifts to where your car is probably going to get lost forever.
No, like, it's like enough to let your kids go sledding and then you're pulling out of the driveway and going back or the parking lot.
Yeah.
And you're ready to go.
You can have a snowball fight. You can have a sledding and then you're done and that's it. You're good.
Absolutely. Oh, but we did watch a lot of Ahsoka.
We did.
Which was cool. And the fun fact, I know we didn't finish it, but I finished it when I got back over here. I continued watching it. Because I'm the kind of guy, like, I don't like starting a show and then leaving it off, like, partway through. So I have to finish it before I can start another side show. Because I've got my main show, which is Skeleton Crew, but we're only getting one episode a week, and now we've gotten through all the episodes.
Yeah.
So, you know, whatever my side show is, I've got a side. You like that sideshow? You know, whatever my little piece of Star Wars on the side is, you know, I got to finish that first before I move on to something else.
A little side piece.
Yeah, that's right. But yeah, so I finished Ahsoka again for like the umpteenth time. I was looking through it because I'm like, what do I really want to rewatch out of Star Wars? And I'm torn. I don't think I've done a second, like a rewatch of Andor. Like I watched it once through, obviously all the way through, and it was excellent. I loved it. I just haven't gone back to it, and I don't know why, because I really enjoyed it. I don't know. I feel like the rewatchability of some of the other shows is just better, maybe.
Yeah, I think to me, Andor was good the first time around because you didn't know what was coming. I think, and it had a real good draw to that. Now that you know what's coming, I'm not saying it's still a great show. I think it was well put together. I think now that you know this coming, the shine isn't as great. Whereas, like, I would say that, you know, for nostalgia pieces and stuff, like, Ahsoka holds that value. Clone Wars, same reason. But I think Andor is just, I'm waiting for the season 2 because, you know, to me that there was a lot of, if we get one, hopefully we will.
We are getting that. That's been confirmed for a little while now. Andor season 2 is, I think, in development right now.
Yeah, we had a confirmation. I wasn't sure.
My guess is they're either wrapping up filming or they're long done with filming and they're doing post-production.
Mm-hmm. I figured it wouldn't be too longer before we had more Star Wars content coming out. Because Skeleton Crew was really kind of the big thing in a little while.
I would say Skeleton Crew became the big thing. Like, so much was unknown about it for so long, and it was pushed off and, you know, delayed in releasing. And then, like, out of nowhere, they come swinging. And, I mean, the show, in my opinion, is arguably one of Disney's, if not Disney's, best Star Wars show. I mean, when you look at both critic reviews and fan reviews, everyone seems to be happy with it.
Yeah.
I mean, I've just...
Yeah, the only people that I know that have negative things to say about it are the people who haven't watched it.
Are stupid.
I'm saying, like, because I have a few people who are like, well, you know, I didn't really feel like doing it. And I'm like, well, why? And they're like, you know, because I had a bad taste from this show or this show. And I'm like, okay, stop that and just watch the show.
Yep.
You know, like, just give the show a new try. Like, I don't care if you didn't like The Acolyte or if Kenobi threw you off. Those are the two that I usually get from, like, oh, I got to, you know, and I'm like, you know what? I don't care. Because to me, Skeleton Crew kind of feels like we're getting the 1970s Star Wars all over again. That's an opinion, but I really feel like we're kind of getting that little bit of nostalgic. Like, I can just see, like, the Skeleton Crew logo or cover being the same as the, you know, the old school Luke with the lightsaber above his head and the little star.
Right.
You know, like, that's just how I feel, you know? Even the way they, you know, they write the Skeleton Crew just feels kind of 80s Stranger Thingsy, you know, like
I loved it. it's a completely different story, different actors, different writers, you know, like totally unrelated, except that it exists in the Star Wars universe, you know? So it's like, you got to judge each show individually. You can compare it to others, but you can't judge it based on other shows because they're completely different projects altogether.
Sure. Oh yeah. Especially when it comes to television, we have to do that because you don't have the same showrunners. You don't have the same set crew, I think, and there's even different premises. You know, you may be interested. It's when I read fantasy within the Forgotten Realms, which is D&D, there are writers I don't like, there's writers I do like, but then there's also, even within those writers, there's themes that I do and don't like. It's the same thing, you know. Star Wars has such a wide variety now, a wide palette. I think there's something for everybody.
Obviously, my prediction of Jod being a Kyle Katarn-esque character was debunked. But they called it, like, episode 3, was it, when I called it, the world being run by droids?
Yeah.
Supervisor's a droid.
Yep.
Super dope.
Yep.
I was very happy about that.
Yep. And you were also right that I think you called it like 2 or 3 episodes ago that Jod was just a straight up bad guy.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
Yeah. I was really bummed about that. Like, I was really like, holding out hope that it would just be a, you know, like he was a fluke. It was a fluke or something, you know.
Uh-huh.
But nope, he's just a straight up bad guy.
Yeah, like episode 7, I was like, all right, the way they left off with the lightsaber and everything, I thought maybe this is just an ominous red herring and they're, you know, the next episode is going to be like he reveals he really has been trying to help them all along. And then this episode comes and he's like, nope, I'm in it for the money. You know, I will kill you guys.
Now, I do say that there is some, and again, it was really breaking my heart just to, but there was some redeeming-ish, I'll say it that way, redeeming-ish qualities. Well, here, let me finish. I think that Jod really broke my heart in the fact that we're like, okay, he's just a straight up bad guy. But I at the risk of sounding or putting him too high on the totem pole of Star Wars characters, he has some of those like Darth Vader-y qualities where there's still good lingering in the bad. I think so, because there was a lot of times where he was trying to, like, instead of just outright killing the kids or outright harming people, he was like, stop, I don't want to have to hurt you.
Yeah, I mean, I guess there's part of that, but like, if he really didn't want to have to hurt them, he wouldn't be letting his pirates run raids and like blow up homes and like, you know, do stupid, wild, crazy things like that. Let's be realistic. If he really didn't want to hurt them, he could have just loaded up his Onyx Cinder with Republic credits and left.
Yeah, I think the thing there is, I'm not saying that he's like, we're still talking about, I'm still comparing to Vader. Vader still did atrocities. Vader still killed the kids at the temple. What I'm saying is that I think Jod had by the end of it, I think that these kids made an impact on him. And I think that he saw something of their pluckiness and of him in them. And so I'm saying, like, them specifically, I don't think he wanted to hurt. I don't think he cared too much about the rest of it. While I still think he's a bad guy and I still rope him in like with that, I don't think he cared too much. And again, you can't just tell your pirates not to do anything or else they're going to turn on you just like they did at the beginning.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
But I'm more saying just from the fact of the kids, I think they endeared them. They endeared themselves to him.
Even at the end when they're escaping the tower and Wim's like, God, you know, he wants them to come with him.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jod's like, nope, I've run my course.
Yeah.
How about Wim's dad, like, on their little speeder bike?
Oh,
when they made the jump and
it's so good,
dude. Wim's dad did a complete 180 and Wim's kind of like, yeah, this is what I've been trying to tell you. Life can be fun. You don't just have to be a nerd sitting at a desk.
I love like towards the end when they're trying to get the power on. He's like, dad. And then he looks at dad. He's like, dad, you could do that. And he's like, you're talking to a level 7 systems analyzer. So I can't remember what it means.
Yeah.
he's like, yes, of course I can.
He's full in on the action, man.
I was like, okay, I see you. Like, yeah, it was the last. I mean, I don't know if you saw the title on the skeleton crew, because now that all the episodes are in, they have that the full season watch through placard on the Disney Channel thing. But then right above that, it's a little excerpt from, I can't remember, a magazine or something, that, and it was like something about like, oh man, what a blast. And they just get, you know, that was their like little excerpt of what the whole season was from front to end. And I was like, that's such a great, just that one word, like just, yep. It was a blast. Yep. And that last episode really just kind of summed up all the emotions I felt throughout the whole show.
I flipped out. I don't know why this happened, so don't judge me, but I may or may not have teared up a little bit when the X-Wings and the B-Wings showed up and started doing their thing. Because, I mean, the X-Wings showed up, and I'm like, oh, that's so cool. I love seeing X-Wings. You know, that it's just classic. But B-Wings, they had a couple B-Wings show up and start, like, doing their giant laser cannon blasts on the... And I'm like, we barely ever got to see the B-Wings. This is so awesome. Like, I'm sitting there going... Yeah. This is the kind of Star Wars that I like. When you bring in familiar stuff like that, first of all, we didn't get any recognizable pilots. It's not like we got, you know, Poe Dameron earlier on in life as a pilot or, you know, Zeb or Carson Teva. You know, we didn't get anyone that we've seen before, which was refreshing. But right. You still get the, hey, we're paying homage to, you know, the time that we're in. It's New Republic. The X-Wings are still in full force. And they're even using some of the B-Wings. And it's like, oh, that's so cool. Yeah. I was so happy to see those.
The only thing I was kind of hoping towards at the very end, I felt the same way, was when the Tantive shuttle showed up.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that, too.
Yeah, and when that showed up, I was like, oh, I hope there's, like, somebody... That's when I hoped, like, maybe somebody, like, recognizable would show up, but it is what it is. I'm still happy with the way it ended.
They already did that in Mando Season 2, though.
It's true.
So, I mean, the only reason I would bring someone back is if they were going to bring another Luke in. Like, if we got another scene with young Luke, I'm all for it. Otherwise, eh.
I just was thinking that this would be a great opportunity because especially if they're familiar with what this planet was supposed to be.
Right.
It would be intentional to have, you know, somebody of importance show up.
Right.
Which it could be. We could see in season two. You know, we don't know.
I don't think we're getting a season two.
Yeah, I don't know either. That's why I'm saying it's all up in the air.
But they wrapped it up so nicely with a little bow on top. They don't. It's true. There's nothing else. They have to tell with this story, really.
Yeah. And I would be also very okay with this being a one-off.
Me too.
I'd be a little bummed, but I'm okay with it.
Still something to gripe about. I bought, you know, I've got the Lego Onyx Cinder and it comes with Jod and all four kids, but it doesn't come with SM-33, which to me is like out of everything, SM-33 originally came with the ship. Like, how do you not give us him? I also can't find an SM-33 Black Series figure anywhere. So I don't know if they just haven't made one yet or if they're going to make one, but I'm pretty ticked off about that too, to be honest with you. So Lego and Hasbro, get your crap together because this is some grade A, you know, dookie. This is not cool. We need some SM-33 figurines, but it is a cool build. It's a really cool ship. Lego, you did well. Give us SM-33. But yeah, it was even cool to me that like when the supervisor and Jod are talking and the supervisor's like, you know, it's funny, you know, the last communication records that we got from the Republic were that the Jedi had turned enemy. They had been traitors to the Republic. And it's like, you know, we've been thinking all along this planet lost to time and trapped and they have no idea what's going on outside of their planet. And then here we're like, okay, well, they've gotten messages as recently as, you know, 20 something years ago when Order 66 happened. So they're at least caught up with that aspect of it. How much more further that they know, we don't really know. But that was really, you know, I really appreciated that little detail. And, you know, basically calling Jod out about being like, all right, well, which are you lying about?
You know? Which, yeah, that was great. I love that. But it also asked the deeper question now that we're here. Now, obviously, we get the answer of a little bit of it from the other 9 planets being destroyed. But if At-Aten was still functioning and to some degree, the Republic still knew about it, what was the whole point of using the banking clan?
Well, I don't think At-Aten used the banking clan.
No. But if the Republic had this kind of a treasury.
No, that's a good question. Because we don't know when the Empire took over, for example. Yeah, I don't know. That's an even better question than I thought it was. Because the more I think about it, it's not just Imperial. It's like during the time of the Republic.
Before even
what did Palpatine. The banking clan need anything to do with?
Because they even were before At-Aten. Yeah, they were before even the Confederacy split and the Galactic Civil War happened.
Maybe we can get some more about Ad-Atten.
Yeah, because we're talking old High Republic era. That's, you know, way before all this stuff started to happen that we know of, you know? So it was just interesting to me because it wasn't like, I was, you know, I could even think if they were like, oh, okay, well, we had like a little bit of money. But it was just, right. from what we heard, it was a mint of unlimited money. And when they looked at the vaults, I was like, my God, that's tons of millions of credits, billions of credits.
It's a lot of Republic credits.
And then he was like, we have 12 vaults like this. It's like, okay, so we're talking enough to rebuild the Imperial fleet. Like,
and that also begs the question, like, if you have enough to rebuild the Imperial fleet, why didn't that get spent building the New Republic fleet?
Well, I mean, essentially the New Republic didn't know, but when the Old Republic or the you know, the Galactic Republic, if why didn't they use it to get themselves out of debt, or why did they?
No, look at the New Republic fleet as we see it in the sequel trilogy and how diminished it is. Yeah, right. Yeah. So from this point on, borders are down. New Republic has saved Ad-Atten. Why wasn't that money used to build the New Republic fleet?
Season two.
Yeah, I'm kind of interested to see. I think we'll probably get a book and or comics about it. Yeah. I don't know if we'll get a full season two or not. Yeah. I would love to.
Well, yeah, because I think the story with Wim has run its course. Unless the only other thing I could see is maybe we skip forward a few years and we kind of rehash maybe their teen years and they've maybe, I don't know, taken on a new adventure. Because, you know, Wim kind of seemed to be like, you know, now that we're out of the supervisory, out from under the supervisor, you know, he makes the comment, I don't have to take assessment anymore. He almost kind of makes a point of like, I might turn back to flying. And
well,
so I'd be interested.
How does Ad-Atten now reintegrate itself regularly with the rest of the galaxy?
What if they don't align themselves with the New Republic? They stay neutral.
Oof. Yeah, that's a possibility too. So, I mean, they've got some pretty good possibilities for a season two if they wanted to go that direction. Lord knows, I'll take more SM-33 all day.
You know? I just don't know. I think you're hitting on a pretty good point. Is I don't know if they can or if they would even try to top what they've done. And that's why I'd be okay with book comics and you know, as long as we get some of the answers. Because I do think one of the things about this industry, film and movie, I mean, is that sometimes they beat a dead horse, you know, and
right.
And that's
that cow really dry.
Yeah. And I get frustrated with that because even though I think I like, there's some concepts that I really like a great example is Fast and the Furious. You know, yeah. I loved the original concepts. I even liked the first few movies and then it just got to the point where it was like, you know, these movies make a decent action movie, but there's not much to, I mean, we're just doing the same thing over and over and over again.
It's just a bunch of cars, except this time they're jumping off buildings or, you know,
and somehow
attached to rockets.
And, yeah. And somehow the first three movies or four, whatever it was, they were just street racers doing some like really specific stuff that the FBI needed them to do that was street racing. Now they're just somehow like a freelance agent, like,
yeah, you know, they're doing all kinds of crazy crap,
like, yeah, they're just, but yeah, and so that's kind of where I think
what they're gonna do is they're gonna continue fleshing out this period, you know, because this falls in the same line as Mandalorian, Book mm-hmm. of Boba Fett, you know, shows like that. So I think they keep fleshing out this time period, and we're going to get some side mentions here and there about Ad-Atten references, stuff like that, in some other shows in this time period. And that's kind of how we'll be able to keep track with what's going on in that realm. But I just don't see them doing another season of this show specifically. I would love, absolutely, absolutely enjoy, you know, kind of like what you were talking about, you know, spinoff later on in years when they're teenagers or young adults or something like that. I'd love to see that Wim is force sensitive and maybe gets picked up by Luke. You know, I'd still love to have a new Jedi Order show come out with Luke establishing the order. Stuff like that, I think would be awesome to get. But yeah, I don't know. kind of intrigued as to where they go. What I'm really hoping overall is just that Disney keeps this quality. You know, it's so crazy to me that like this show came on the heels of, you know, Acolyte, which really wasn't received well by a lot of fans, which you and I have talked. I enjoyed Acolyte, but, you know, I get why some people may not have. Just like I get how some people may have enjoyed the, you know, sequel trilogy, even though I'm not a huge fan. So, you know, I if they keep the quality that this show had in future projects, they're going to do fine. I mean, they've shown between this and Mandalorian, they've shown that they can execute at an extremely high level, in my opinion, and Andor.
I would say that, and this is an objective opinion, I would say a lot of the things, even Acolyte, I don't think Acolyte was executed any less so than this show. What I think that Acolyte may have suffered from was that they tried to do a bunch of things that were new to the Star Wars universe.
Sure.
And I mean that in the sense of more just like we took us back to a time before the Star Wars time, if you will.
Right.
And most people who aren't avid fans, who are just lay fans, or people who just watch Star Wars because, you know, like I know a few of my family members just watch Mandalorian and stuff because it's got that cool spacey Western vibe. And
right.
And then they've branched into other shows because they're interested in how well they're being made. And if you know, if you grew up with Star Wars and you're, but you don't read the books or you don't, you know, play the video games and you just kind of went with the flow, throwing back to this time would be kind of like a, what are we doing here? Why are we mixing
right.
Lord of the Rings with Star Wars? So I think that could have been a downcast. And I also think that there's a lot of, they touched on some deeper level knowledge, which again, I think is the same issue. You get into this like, oh, we're experimenting with certain expanded universe or legends things and theories. And we're just kind of teasing at those. And everyone's like, why would they throw that in there? That doesn't make any sense. Like which is making a force baby? Like, wait, what? And no, when you don't understand, you don't understand, you know? And so I think it just threw a lot of people who were just like, why, what, where,
right.
You know? And I think that's why it didn't do great. It's because there were so many people who were out there. And I mean, like the people I know that I even talk to at work that are pretty big Star Wars fans who don't go to the next level were like, yeah, I didn't understand that. Like,
well, sit down and watch it with us and we'll chat.
Yeah.
That's my favorite thing to just say, hey, let's sit down. And, you know, every time I watch anything Star Wars, I'm explaining something every 10 to 20 seconds to Penny. So,
And so I think and Rachel actually really enjoyed watching the Skeleton Crew with me, and she was actually like thoroughly, but I think Acolyte was just one of those ones. It had a lot of deeper fandom stuff to it. And
I agree.
And I think it's one of those things, you like it or you don't. And that, I think it was very heavily dependent on how big of a fan you were.
Sure.
But that's an objective opinion, like I said. So I don't think it was any less executed. I just think it had some stuff that they didn't like. Because for Filoni, he was probably like, "Oh yeah, this is great. We got like we're gonna throw all this stuff in there. It's gonna be cool." But he doesn't realize that he lives, breathes, and eats Star Wars. You know,
right? Yeah, I still go back and forth on Acolyte because I enjoyed it. Overall, I really did. I get why even some of the deep fans didn't enjoy it. But as a whole, I thought it was still fun and entertaining and different. I don't think I would put it anywhere near same quality overall as Skeleton Crew, though.
Yeah, and I didn't mean necessarily like in storytelling. I meant more just like cinematography.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's beautiful overall, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, storytelling, that was another key point I forgot to bring up. I think I think they struggled a little bit in the storytelling that it got. Like,
yeah,
it was
just in the order of which they released everything and
yeah,
just not knowing anything about any of these characters to begin with and then keeping us guessing from episode to episode, you know. I think the execution of it probably could have been a little better.
Yes.
But I've long forgotten about Acolyte as a whole because Skeleton Crew has taken like everything for me.
Yeah, it's true.
I felt when watching Skeleton Crew, I felt the same way I did when watching Mandalorian season one for the first time.
Yep.
I was so excited. It was something fresh and new, and like the storytelling was new, and we get some similar, you know, we get some recognizable characters or flashbacks or whatever and references and stuff like that. But everything for the most part is all new.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
Mm-hmm. And that's, I mean, so much about like Mandalorian is exactly what I was going to say. Mandalorian had this, they did so good at mixing the kind of like space vibes with the Western vibes. Like even the little, like, you know, the old fashioned like showdown that you think of. Yes. Every Western music, they play that like wah wah wah, you know, like
right.
The Mandalorian had their own space version of that. And they just, you know, so you were like from through and through, you're like, this show was so well done. And from the very beginning, that first season was some of the best TV we've had in years.
Right.
And I think Skeleton Crew since then has been, and I think it actually even for me tops Mandalorian season one.
Yeah, I've been torn on that. Like if I had to rank all of our live action shows just based on quality and execution, Skeleton Crew might take the top spot for me.
Yeah, I really think so. And the reason I think that is just because it was like, I can look back and I can watch Mando season one, and I can look at it and be like, you know what? Because of how fresh it was and how I still think all of the season was gold. But when I watch it again, even now, I can be like, you know, this episode wasn't as good as this one. It was still good, but it wasn't as good as this one. Whereas when I watch Skeleton Crew, I'm like, nope, this one is good. And this one's good.
Well, I think this is the first Star Wars show where I found myself not being able to pick one episode over the other as my favorite.
Yeah.
Like, I loved every single episode we got thoroughly through and through.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
So, you know, I was talking to someone at work about it the other day, and I was like, man, like, sometimes just for the fun of it, I like to look for things to nitpick, you know, just to be an antagonist. And I can't think of anything or find anything in Skeleton Crew that I'm like, yeah, that didn't work, or I wasn't a fan of that, or, you know, that seems inconsistent with XYZ. I can't find any of that. Anyone who would make the claim that any of those episodes were quote unquote filler episodes is ignorant and probably needs to be slapped. Cause, you know, there wasn't any filler. It was perfect. Every single episode was awesome.
Yeah. I think they did a great job at pacing the story, moving it forward, and as well as adding, you know, secondary plot items and also plot, you know, themes. There's also a lot of good character development. And I think even the episodes that could have felt like quote unquote filler, like you're saying, were actually essential to the plot development. Like, I mean, and they turn back, like even when we go to Ad Akron and she teaches him about that gun, you know, at the end, it comes back to play. It was full circle. And so even though at the time you could have made the argument, now you're looking at it, you're like, well, okay, it wasn't a filler. It was actually a plot, plot piece, you know? So, I mean, it meant that they did a lot of pre-planning. You know, there was a lot of pre-production, and they did their homework.
Well, and one of the things I loved about this is the dichotomy that we get between Jod's worldview or galaxy view, so to speak, and the kids. You know, because Jod has this very cold, no one's going to help you. You have to be out for yourself. You know, you know, kind of like Tobias Beckett in the same sense where it's like, you know, I don't trust anyone. No one's here to help me. I'm just out here fending for myself. And that's kind of where Beckett's at, or where Jod's at with this. But then Fern has this moment with her mom where she's like, you know, everywhere we went, even some of the nastiest places we visited, there was always someone or some folks that were willing to help us. There was always good, however little it may be, and amongst an overwhelming amount of bad, there was always some good that could be found that would help us along the way. And that was really, really cool to see. You know, these kids got some crazy good life experience in this short amount of time. You know, they're grown up. They've seen things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably my favorite part of everything in this show, is just how these kids have, you know, seen how awful the galaxy can be, but that despite that, there are still people out there willing to help, culminating in the New Republic responding to the call. You know, there are good people out there that are willing and able to help.
Yeah. Yeah, and the fact that they even like help spur their parents on to that same ideology. Yeah,
absolutely.
You know, I think that was cool. And to see them wrestle, you know, like that wrestle between the two, where Jod this whole time is just like, no, galaxy sucks. And then it makes sense, you know, when you actually finally get the explanation of where he came from and why he has such a cynical worldview of, and you're like, okay, I get that, it makes sense, it sucks, but like, then these kids have this, and you're like, okay, well,
yeah,
but they have it a different way,
right?
So it was cool. It was definitely, there was a lot of cool coming of age aspects to that. I loved it. So
absolutely fantastic show. 12 out of 10 stars. I mean, I can't rave about this enough. It's been absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
Outside of Skeleton Crew, have you absorbed any other Star Wars content in recent weeks?
So I think the biggest influx would be, like we said, we rewatched Ahsoka. And then on top of that, I've actually started to dive once again into the, because of that, you know, the interest in the whole thing, I started to dive into the Thrawn books again.
Ooh.
And start reading those.
I like it.
And so that's been an interesting read. I forgot, because it's been such a long time since I've read the original three Thrawn books, how much of a different entity he kind of was,
mm-hmm,
in those books. And also, I don't know why I completely put this to the space, but it also I completely forgot that Rook is not a new character and that he came from those books.
Correct. Yep.
I don't know why I'd space that, but
yep. So in Rebels, when they introduce Thrawn, they also introduce him, which is an awesome connection, because they not only brought in one, but they brought in two from the EU. Mm-hmm. And, you know, unfortunately Mara Jade wasn't included in that, and I still think she should be. But, you know, the fact that they brought both of them in was really, really cool. And, you know, we have to say thanks, Filoni.
Right. But yeah, I was just the whole thought I went through was because we had to have that conversation either the last time we did the podcast or the time before about Thrawn's intentionalities. Mm-hmm. And so I was just trying to get a new light. I think I'm still too early into the books to actually start to get to renew my light on that, because again, like I said, the first three books, he is definitely not the same animal we bring into the canon.
Correct.
He's definitely
much
more maniacal person. But yeah, it's still interesting. So right now that's where I'm at. But I do think that I always love rewatching Ahsoka as much as possible, just because I think I always get a new level of Thrawn and their interaction every time I watch it.
Right. Yeah, I started, for the first time in a while, I finally started listening to audiobooks again. And it was cool because, like, I had there's a book called Jedi, mm-hmm, by Michael Stackpole. And he did the first four X-Wing Rogue Squadron books which I highly, highly recommend. They are among some of my favorite books ever. The main character's name is Corin Horn. And then, you know, he serves in Rogue Squadron under Wedge Antilles. And so it's really cool, but it's all about like post-Endor. Obviously, none of it's canon because what happens post-Endor has completely changed in canon. But holy cow, the books are so incredibly well written, and the audiobooks are awesome because they're constantly getting into dogfights. And if you've got headphones in, you can close your eyes and you can see that you're in, you know, an X-Wing cockpit shooting down these TIE fighters. But I, Jedi is awesome because Corin Horn is force sensitive. He's got Jedi roots, which he finds out about during the, in the Rogue Squadron books. And this is kind of a spin-off book from those where it follows kind of his story and journey, stepping into his Jedi heritage and kind of becoming a Jedi under Luke's guidance. And so, but when I bought it originally as an audiobook, they only had the abridged version. So it was like a 6-hour long recording with just snippets basically that give you kind of the overarching storyline. And now they automatically, like if you bought the abridged version, they've got the full version out now. So if you bought the abridged, they automatically downloaded the full copy for you, which to me is like super awesome. So I'm re-listening to that now that I've got the full copy available. So I started that this week. And then Penny, kind of out of nowhere, the other night was like, hey, let's sit down and watch a Star Wars show, which makes me think she's up to something. I don't necessarily trust it. But she was like, let's watch a Star Wars show. You pick. And I'm like, are you sure? Like, what are you wanting? Like, is there something coming out that you need? Like, you know, I'm just trying to figure out. And she was like, no, I just, you know, I know we don't ever watch Star Wars. We watch a lot of my shows. And she was like, I want to sit down and watch something that you like and, you know, kind of get to know it a little more. So we sat down and watched some more Clone Wars. She's on season 3. She's watched some of Clone Wars by herself just because she wants to be more familiar with it. But we're in the episode where Ahsoka has her lightsaber stolen on Coruscant and ends up teaming up with Tara Sanube to track down the person who stole it and get the lightsaber back. And it was funny because Penny's like, doesn't he die? And I was like, not in this episode. She's like, I've seen him before somewhere. And I was like, yeah, remember when we were watching Kenobi? And she's like, yeah. And I was like, you remember that dark fortress Inquisitorius where Obi-Wan's walking down the hallway and they've got all these people frozen in that like amber looking, you know, stuff. And she's like, yeah. I was like, yeah, he's in there. He's dead. She's like, oh yeah, that's it. That's where I've seen him. But yeah, it's been kind of fun. Like she sits there and asks questions and, you know, seems more engaged and interested in it than she has been in at least previous times watching it. So that was kind of cool. We very much enjoyed that tonight. Trying to think news wise this week, I know, or not this week, but this year is the 20th anniversary of Revenge of the Sith.
Wow.
Which is cool. Yeah. Isn't that nuts? Like that's the last movie of our generation's Star Wars, you know, and it's 20 years old now. Devin, we're old.
I'll be honest with you. It's one of those phenomena where I both thought it was older and not as old, you know?
Oh, it's old. It's old now. And the only reason I was reminded that it's the 20th anniversary is 100% because we're getting a bunch of Revenge of the Sith Lego sets this year, which is super dope. Like, we got an updated, which we haven't had one of these in a long time. But we got an updated ARC 170 Starfighter.
Oh, I love those.
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful build. I put it together the other day, and then I kept like one of the clone pilot minifigs out of it, and then I collect Astromech Lego minifigs, so I had to grab the Astromech as well. But the build's beautiful. It's a gorgeous build. It's much better, much less. The other older two versions were very flimsy in a lot of ways, and this one takes all of that out. It's an awesome, clean build. And then I know we got a new Ahsoka's Jedi Starfighter. It was the Ada 2 Actus class instead of the Aether Sprite. The Delta 7B Aether Sprite is the triangular Jedi Starfighter. And we've only gotten one of those for Ahsoka before. We haven't had any other starfighters, but so we got an updated Ada Actus class starfighter for Ahsoka, which is a really cool one. And then I know we're getting like a 327th Star Corps battle pack, which is Commander Bly and his troops under Aayla Secura. We're getting them in a Lego set. We're getting finally, we Lego fans have been begging for this forever. We're finally getting Galactic Marines in Lego form, which are the guys that served under Ki-Adi-Mundi on Mygeetto. They were like the snowtrooper looking guys, but had the purplish maroon colorings, and they served under Commander Bacara. And so we're getting one of them, which is going to be dope. But yeah, they're doing a bunch. Like I know for May the 4th, they're releasing a UCS Jango Fett Slave One, which is the only the second Jango Fett Slave One to ever be produced. The first one was a long time ago, and we actually have it in store right now, which is crazy to me, because I haven't seen it in forever. But we're getting a UCS version of that, which I know is Attack of the Clones, but still pretty cool. But I know we're getting a bunch more Revenge of the Sith stuff this year, which I'm just over the moon excited about, because that's easily one of my top favorite Star Wars movies of all time. So, yeah, we're doing well in the Lego world, man.
Yeah,
We're sitting
cool they're
pretty
bringing
this
all those
year.
back.
And we're getting the most expensive Lego Star Wars set to ever exist this year in October. They're doing another UCS Death Star, but it's going to be $1,000. So everyone's speculating right now about what it's going to be, what it's going to look like, how they're going to justify a $1,000 set, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But that one's one that we're keeping our eyes out for any leaks on it, because it looks incredible, or it sounds incredible, I should say. Yeah, Lego Star Wars is very alive and well this year. And unfortunately, my bank account is not. So it's going to be a rough year, man.
Yeah, I don't remember where I was reading, but that was the, or maybe it was you that told me. No, I don't think it was you that told me, because I was reading something that the sets of Legos, or like, the or the series is, I guess, what you call them, in the United States. Star Wars is definitely one of the top.
Yes.
It was weird that worldwide, I think City is the biggest one.
Yep.
And I was like, interesting.
Well, it's the most common. You got to think City is probably it's one of those themes that applies to anyone everywhere. It's basic cars and vehicles and planes and trains and boats, that all of that falls under city. Just basic buildings tend to fall under the city theme. And so there's so much variety within the city theme that it'll apply to more places evenly, whereas certain pop culture ones may apply heavier in other areas than they do, et cetera, et cetera. So city's the one that kind of applies across the board to just about everyone.
It makes sense, because I know City was even popular here,
Yeah.
but I just figured that Star Wars would probably be because anywhere that you have people who buy Lego, I would assume that Star Wars would also be popular.
Yeah.
Just because probably. Star Wars is one of those pop culture phenomena that it is everywhere.
But also on that same token, when you think about like kids who are, you know, let's say you've got kids from 4 to 7 who you may not have introduced to Star Wars yet, or who may not have gotten into it. And while they may not be into that, a city vehicle for that age range or a city whatever building or airplane will still probably pique their interest. So city, when you're looking at gift buying, for example, which is a huge thing for Lego, you know, it's safer for aunts and uncles and grandparents to get a city set than it is to get a Star Wars set in terms of as a gift. And that's just one example way of looking at it. City being, I would not be surprised if city universally is the most popular theme within Lego.
I think it is.
Yeah.
I think the article I was reading, and I mean, obviously it's an inference here, but city was in pop, was worldwide, were in the rest of the world, if you will. Rest of the world, it was the most popular. In the United States, I believe it was second or third.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
So if you actually add it all up, it means it's probably the first.
Yeah. Yeah, I would imagine it's definitely got to be first. But yeah, so getting some awesome Lego Star Wars stuff. I'm excited to see what kind of content we have next week. What do we want to talk about next week? We want to watch Revenge of the Sith this week and just do a collab review on it next week.
Yeah, we could do that.
How does that sound?
For the 20th anniversary?
Yeah, let's do that. So we're gonna discuss Revenge of the Sith next week. So stay tuned. Hit us up on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all Records of the Republic. You can shoot us an email at recordsoftherepublic@gmail.com. Make sure to give us a follow and a like and subscribe or whatever, you know, do all that fun stuff. And hit us up because we love talking about Star Wars and we love connecting with you guys. I know I've been reached out to recently by, which I've got to introduce you kind of to them, but FACBA From a Certain Point of View is another podcast that is pretty popular, and I highly recommend, Devin, that you listen to them because they're freaking hilarious. Matt and Jay, they're awesome. They're great guys. They're from up north, if I'm correct, like Michigan, Minnesota area, somewhere around there. Funny guys. I always give them a hard time because I tell them that they're my son's favorite podcast group. They're not a family friendly podcast necessarily. So they're always like, Wade, what kind of parenting are you doing? Like what are you teaching these kids? I love the FACBA guys. And then Hyperspace Heroes podcast is another one to check out. Those guys are awesome. They reached out to me recently. And so we've had a couple of people reach out and they're like, dude, we're so glad you're back. When's your next episode? Because you posted a few and then we haven't heard from you in a while. So I promise I'm trying to be better about being active. We've just, with everything. Well, and with everything, like I've got to be so involved with the social media at work now because I run all of our social media. So our TikTok, our Facebook, our Instagram, YouTube now.
You got people now. You need to get your people.
Yeah, but I've seen some. I hope none of them are actually listening to this podcast. Some of them do pretty good work. But then there are some that are like, okay, maybe I'll let you post something every once in a while. But it's kind of one of those things.
Never.
That it's just one of those things that, like, anytime I talk to people, they're like, hey, whoever's doing your social media is doing a really good job. And that's encouraging. And I like hearing that. And that's why I don't relinquish it.
Yeah, it's just an ego boost is what it is.
It's just like a pat on the back. Like, well, you know, my dad never loved me, so I appreciate you. This is like second best, you know?
And Ethan, if you're listening, he doesn't mean it.
I don't mean that.
No, it's funny because if that were to be the case for us and someone's like, wow, you guys are so active and good on social media, I'll know right then and there it wasn't me. You're not complimenting me. Like, you know why? My social media still has a picture of when I was in prom. That was 15 years ago.
That always cracks me up.
Super active.
Yeah. Most of the Twitter, TikTok interactions are going to be me.
Yeah. So, I might put input. It might be an interaction through him.
Yeah. It might be something where Devin's like, hey, you should tweet this. You know?
Oh, how accurate.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for tuning in. As always, may the force be with you. And remember, this is the way. I'm going to have to close my eyes every time we record that stupid intro. I can't stop laughing.
I had to put myself on mute.
I need to just go ahead and re-record the intro once, just myself, and set it up as an intro so I can just play it each time. That's what I had set up before, and it seemed to work out a lot better than this.
Yeah.
Whatever this crap is.
Why are you going back to working harder?
I don't know. I'm not technologically advanced, and I've had like zero time. Like post-production on this podcast right now has like gone into the dumps. Like I've had zero time. I basically cut the clips and I'm like, all right, that's our podcast. So it hasn't exactly been like perfect, but it works.
But you said you had it pre-recorded. So
yes, but I had it pre-recorded with previous hosts' names.
No,
I guess I could just do a single recording where I cut out the name and I'm like, Devin.
It's just a totally different, just like, it's like your host, Devin.
Oh my gosh.